Is the crypto bull market over?
Are we seeing warning signs of a massive upcoming crash? Or is Bitcoin about to explode to 100K?
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks, use this as fuel for your investing journey. Because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leveraged trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
All views expressed by speakers on the Bean Pod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Bean Pod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Today, we're going to be discussing whether the crypto bull market has reached its peak and we're about to see a huge crash, or if we're going to continue with the good times and Bitcoin is going to smash past 100K.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on? There's a lot to dive into here. There's a lot of new information, you know, when it comes to interest rates, when it comes to spot Bitcoin ETFs. You know, are we seeing an inflow? Are we seeing an outflow? What's going on with the overall market? And where is Bitcoin going to head next?
It's there's never a dull moment in crypto. I mean, let's just, before we get into our predictions about what we think is going to happen in the future, let's just take a little look back at what's happened over the, I mean, it's been a crazy 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Like 6 months ago, Bitcoin was sitting at 25K, if you can believe that. Just 6 months ago.
Crazy.
It exploded to nearly 75,000 within 6 months. I mean, I don't think anyone expected it to happen so quickly. People were saying, you know, it's going to be the halving and then we're going to see a massive explosion. But if you look back at kind of, and the reason why we like to look back is because there's always clues about what's going to happen in the future. Think about what the clues were in the headlines. We saw all the people who control the world, the biggest capital managers in the world, BlackRock, Fidelity, they're saying, we're doing Bitcoin spot ETFs. We're buying Bitcoin. We're launching ETFs. And everyone's like, oh no, it's bearish. We got to counter them. Of course, Bitcoin went up 48K, little pullback. And then the inflows, right? The ETF inflows. So again, what we're going to talk about this in this episode is a few different headlines that we're seeing that we think are under discussed, which show us which way the market's going to go next.
It's interesting when you look at the Bitcoin Fear and Greed Index. You know, we're sitting at just under $70,000 right now. And the Fear and Greed Index is sitting like a 70. But back in, you know, when Bitcoin is trading at like 30K, it felt like market sentiment was like the exact same way when it went up from like 15K to 30K. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, like everything's great again.
Yep.
It's just amazing where we are at price, but how people are still feeling. To that point, we mentioned about counter trading and the fact that we had BlackRock saying, look, we're coming out with a spot Bitcoin ETF. Then we saw ARK. We saw, you know, all these huge wealth managers publicly saying this. But in one of your posts on Twitter, it's like, look, everybody's going to start front running the news and start loading up on Bitcoin, which ultimately affects BlackRock's clients, right? Because all these retail traders are piling on in before it actually happens. Mm-hmm. So a massive catalyst we could potentially see is when the Ethereum ETF is eventually approved, which is, I think, scheduled for May.
Yep.
Which later in the episode we'll get to. I think May, there's a lot of really interesting things occurring there. So make sure you tune into the end here. This time, they're not going to allow that front running to occur. You know, we're not seeing the same headlines that we're seeing with Bitcoin. It's a little bit more like tampered down, if you will.
Yep.
That, when that is approved, I think that's going to be a huge catalyst for Ethereum and all the Ethereum-based altcoins.
For sure. I mean, it took people a long time. Again, looking back over the past 6 to 7 months, even 12 months, it took people a long time to figure out that this isn't just a bear market rally. You know, there's so many traders, whether it be on YouTube or Twitter, all these quote unquote experts, you know, oh, bear market rally, crash incoming. People are fading the rally. They faded the rally from 15 to 30 to 48K. They said, oh, look, Bitcoin ETF approval, 48K. We're going to nuke back down to 20K.
Yeah.
There was a slight pullback to what, like high 30s, and then boom to 75. the bear market rally narrative and people shorting Bitcoin and fading the bull market, that is what continued to drive price up, right? If everyone expects there to be a massive pullback after the Bitcoin spot ETF and then they're shorting it, that's not going to happen. You know, so you, at the one hand, you want to counter trade the so-called experts. And also we always talk about, you know, if the headlines are saying this, you maybe want to look the other way. But at the end of the day, when the people who are coming in and controlling the market in terms of BlackRock, Fidelity, ARK, these are the people that are publicly buying Bitcoin. When they're saying, look, this is what we're going to do. It's all, you can track it all. We're launching this ETF on this day. People even said, oh, the ETF's not going to happen. And then now they look, this the next narrative, Ethereum ETF, May is a maybe, but they're pushing for this to happen.
Yeah.
And when BlackRock wants something, they get it.
They've had 580 ETFs approved. They've had one not approved.
Right.
So I'm putting my eggs in the basket that it gets approved. Mm-hmm. Just look at like what the spot, like when the gold ETF was introduced to the NASDAQ back in 2004, the price of gold went from $400 to $1,800 over the course of the next 10 years. It's just a massive inflow, which caused the price of gold to just accelerate for years after that. And I think what we're going to start seeing is spot Bitcoin ETFs globally. You know, people are waking up to the fact, you know, social media, how the government is devaluing your dollar. You know, people are waking up to this. Bitcoin is hard, sound money. We have, and I don't know why people aren't talking about, but we have Hong Kong is rolling out a Bitcoin, now accepting spot Bitcoin ETFs.
Right, so they're going through their process.
Exactly. The monthly volume for Asia spot crypto exchanges exceeds $1.5 trillion, which is 8 times bigger than the U.S.
Wow.
Some of it might be wash trading, whatever it is. However, it still speaks to the amount of volume in the Asian markets. If this Hong Kong spot Bitcoin ETF is approved, I mean, look at what the U.S. one has done.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like if you look at the state of the global economy, you know, you're seeing inflation is sticky. It's not really coming down. There's, you know, all kinds of conflict in the world and all kinds of uncertainty, right? And like you said, people are waking up to the fact that Bitcoin is hard money. It's now much easier to get. It's becoming more regulated, which takes the, you know, question marks out of it. Institutional money, we've been talking about this for years now. Institutional money is actually flowing in. Like, people always make comparisons of this bull market compared to the last several bull markets, but this one is different because it's a bit more regulated. And institutional money, we're talking about billions or trillions of dollars, is now allowed to flow in through regulated means into Bitcoin, soon Ethereum, altcoins, everything, right? And you're starting to actually see, and we talk about mass adoption, some of the projects that we've talked about. You see, for example, like a project like QuantX, they're being adopted by an entire European country. There's a bunch of other examples which we can talk about later in the episode, but you're actually seeing institutions, which we've been talking about, they're here. You're actually seeing mass adoption. You're starting to see real world use cases for crypto. And there's a lot of bullish sentiment, not only in crypto, but even if we start to look at the legacy markets, the stock market, you know, inflation, interest rates, liquidity, there's still a lot of signs there that say this thing isn't over.
Yeah, look, inflation has been running sky high. But when you look at, you know, the companies that control the world, you know, the BlackRocks, the Walmart, all these things, their gross and net profits are at all-time high. The billionaires, are the ones, the people who are wealthy are the ones capitalizing right now on these high interest rates. There's trillions of dollars still on the sideline yet to be deployed.
Right.
You know, yeah, there's the high inflation and high interest rates are affecting the smaller fish, but the smaller fish are not what's really going to be driving this market. It's more like the global liquidity from the banks, et cetera. And we're kind of just curling them. When you look at like the longer term global liquidity cycles, we're like a year or two into that now. We still have another year or so of that, when you look at like that curve, of it continuing for liquidity coming into the market.
And I think that times up with what's been our thesis for a long time now. And, you know, here we are in 2024. It's an election year. We've talked about the quote-unquote Goldilocks zone on this show a lot, which is before the Fed and, you know, before the interest rates start to be cut. You know, everyone right now is panicking in the market because, they're not going to be cutting interest rates anytime soon. But as we've warned on the show many times, if you look at what happens in the stock market after they actually do cut interest rates, there's a massive sell-off. Right now, we're in a zone where the Fed does not want to actually pivot and cut rates because they're waiting for inflation to come down a little bit more. So they're just going to keep the status quo. What the market doesn't like is uncertainty.
Mm.
We know what the market is like right now. We're in this zone. The Fed is not cutting rates. Things have been going very well for both the stock market, crypto, everything. We're in this Goldilocks zone where it's not too hot. It's not too cold. Everything is just right. You know, there will be most likely a reckoning. But the longer we can stay in this Goldilocks zone, the more this liquidity, I think, will come back into the market, which will help continue to drive the stock market up and the crypto and Bitcoin market. Everything in this Goldilocks zone is right. And in an election year, do you really think that the powers that be are going to let a massive crash happen even before the election or even during like that whole era? I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting the fact that like the market, at time of recording today, the market's seeing a bit of a sell-off because there is no guarantee that there's going to be rate cuts this year. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we've alluded to over the past year now, we want them to keep kicking that can down the road because the moment they do cut the rates, that's not a bullish event. That's when the market crashes.
Yep.
So we kind of want to keep running up until that moment. But for some reason, a majority of investors, I think, view it as a bullish event, cutting rates.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit silly. To your point about the elections, recently on March 23rd, Biden signed into law a $1.2 trillion spending package, keeping the U.S. government funded through the remaining of the fiscal year, which is six more months from now.
Right.
So they just injected another $1.2 trillion into the economy, which they claim will invest in Americans, strengthen the economy, and national security. So to me, that sounds like liquidity entering the markets again.
For sure.
Right? For the next 6 months.
Yep.
Right? And that's leading up until 6 months from now, November?
The election.
Election. So yep. I think we still have like the rest of the year before we see interest rate cuts, which we don't want yet.
Yep.
The election and the spending bill.
For sure. And think about, you know, so it's going to be, you know, Biden or Trump, right? What happened when Trump was in office last time? These guys are the kings, you know, they both are. And, you know, we're not political on the show, but it's kicking the can down the road, right? They don't want to face up for the problems and they're rather just print money and let the good times roll and then let the next guy deal with it.
Yeah.
That's what the Trump administration did last time during COVID. They printed, you know, the insane amount of stimulus, which propped the markets up to, that was the last crypto bull market, right? So, you know, if people think maybe Trump's going to get in, then they're going to remember that. And maybe that's bullish for the markets, right? Or Biden can remain in. And again, market doesn't like uncertainty. They've seen what's happened here. That's good. Could be good for the markets too.
Yeah.
So I think in conclusion about what we think about the overall markets is, I don't think there's reason to panic. We've seen a massive run-up over the past 7 months from the stock market and Bitcoin in particular, powered by spot ETFs, institutions, all that kind of stuff. I see no reason for it to end at this point. The halving would be the next big discussion point, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is like, this is potentially where some people say, okay, sell the news. Halving, nuke.
I think the people who don't understand Bitcoin will sell that. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are maybe not in for the long haul. There's a lot of traders, leverage traders, et cetera. Let's touch upon the Bitcoin halving right after one point I want to make, because you mentioned it was the printing of all that money, all that the stimulus, like $5 trillion. Let's not forget that Tether and Circle continue to mint these USDTs and the USDCs almost on a weekly basis now. They're pumping billions of dollars into the market.
Yeah, right.
Look at stablecoin liquidity. It's on the rise.
Yeah.
You know, it's another indicator of, you know, money going into the system still for a crypto aspect at least.
Right. And actually, one more point before we get into the Bitcoin halving. I think it's Matthew Hyland, that guy on Twitter that I follow that we really like. I think it was him. He said, if you look at, again, looking at global liquidity, all that money that was printed during that COVID era, say 2020 to 2022, is still not priced into the markets,
right?
Because a lot of it's on the sidelines. Mm. So the reason that we've, you know, everyone looks at, if you zoom out on the stock market, it's scary, right? It's like,
yeah, for sure,
massive up only. But if he says, look at where we were at in 2020, the amount of money that was printed, the stock market still has not nearly caught up to how much liquidity has been injected into the markets, because it's a long-term thing for $5 trillion of liquidity to make its way from people's households into the market.
Yeah.
He says this is not going to be priced in for years. Mm. So he sees a continued run on bull market here until, you know, the next Great Depression or whatever.
What if Michael Saylor said this is the 10-year fucking crypto bull market or something like that?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you zoom out, short term price fluctuations happen, but ultimately we keep ending up only.
Yeah, for sure.
Bitcoin halving. This is when we're going to start to see less sell pressure. from A, right now we've seen, you know, if you analyze the inflow versus outflow flow from the ETFs, Grayscale is continuously dumping Bitcoin right now.
Yep.
They're going to run out in the next couple months. That's going to come to an end around the Bitcoin halving, just after. But also the Bitcoin miners, they tend to stop selling their Bitcoin after the halving because the amount of effort that goes into creating these. So the Bitcoin halving, for those who don't know, the rewards are cut in half. So why would these miners put in all this effort to sell their all the computational power required to accumulate the Bitcoin to sell it? It doesn't make any sense for them from a business perspective.
Yep.
So they stop selling right after the halving as well.
I feel like it's going to be, honestly, my prediction is it's going to be the exact same thing as the Bitcoin spot ETF approval. All these people are coming out and saying, oh, the halving is going to be a massive sell the news event back into the bear market. I think, yeah, there's going to be a small pullback because, again, like you mentioned, all these leverage traders, all these short-term traders, the powers that be, you know, Binance, OKX, Bybit, they're going to see this as an opportunity to liquidate everyone. You know, quick spot up, spike down to 50K.
Good, liquidate them.
Yeah, liquidate everyone.
I'm happy about that.
But when you understand the fundamentals of Bitcoin, like you just mentioned, it cannot be seen as anything but a long-term bullish event. It's decreasing, you know, simple economics.
It's so simple.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
Decreasing supply. We have decreasing supply from the Bitcoin halving. We have increasing demand from global ETFs and institutions. Can I make it any more simple than that?
No, it's simple.
People are going to be like, nope, tell the news.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, go for it.
Yeah.
Remain broke.
Exactly.
Bitcoin's been up only since its inception.
Yeah, you look at those charts, it's like, I mean, I know Bitcoin came, you know, from zero to whatever.
Yeah.
But even over the last like 5 years, Bitcoin versus Microsoft or Apple or the NASDAQ or S&P 500 or anything, Bitcoin.
Yeah. There's some other things that I think need to be looked at as well. And like what Sailor's do with MicroStrategy and, you know, how they're a lot of the technical jargon that I'm not like totally familiar with, but like the convertible debt and everything that he's doing to accumulate more Bitcoin and what it's doing for his stock. I think we're going to start to see additional companies. Like there was like that mining company that said they're going to start putting Bitcoin on the reserve. There's a few other companies that came out recently.
Yeah.
So that is also going to lead to additional accumulation of Bitcoin as well. When all these companies start doing it, it's like, it's just feeding the system.
For sure. And then I think what we're also seeing, so now I think we can agree, we're seeing massive macroeconomic tailwinds continuing to fuel the bull market. But when you go deeper into crypto and the narratives and the whole culture of crypto right now, I think you're seeing a few narratives in particular that are going to continue to flood money into the market. So the first one, again, we also talk about BlackRock. What has BlackRock said is the next step? Other than the Ethereum ETF, tokenization of assets. These guys told us what was going to happen with Bitcoin. Everyone faded them and boom, they were wrong. Now they're saying this is just the start. We're going to tokenize every asset. This is how we're going to do it. We're coming up with our own fund. They've got projects like Ondo Finance that are working with them. They're tokenizing every asset. That's all in the blockchain. It's all crypto. BlackRock, I think they're in charge of $10 trillion worth of assets. Listen to what these guys have to say.
Yeah.
Right?
They're launching their Biddle tokenized fund on Ethereum, which also coincide with Ripple saying that they're launching a stablecoin on Ethereum.
Right.
Like the headlines are like, if you read between the lines, it's all there.
You don't even have to read between the lines. Just read the line.
Yeah, but people can't read. People don't know how to read.
It's
that's the problem.
This is the problem.
Yeah, so we have all that's occurring. And then we also have, I don't know how this one untalked about too, the London Stock Exchange is rolling out a market for Bitcoin and Ether exchange traded notes on May 28th. Mm. So the stock exchange will accept applications for trading crypto these ETNs starting on April 8th.
Right.
The market will subject the approval to the UK regulator. And then basically this is going to be like ETFs, only it's going to be available to professional investors and institutions. The reason they're waiting until May 28th is so they can get maximum impact.
Right.
As it says from their document. It's like, why is nobody talking about these things?
Yeah, for sure. Well, they don't want us to, you know.
It's a huge catalyst.
Yeah, as we said, I think they're playing these things down now because they saw what happened with the Bitcoin ETF. Now these big announcements are like sweeping them under a rug until they've got their max positions and then it's too late for retail, right?
Yeah.
And then when you look at specific sectors and narratives in crypto, so I was thinking to myself last night or one of the other nights, there's this massive, I was watching what was going on in Solana. Obviously, Solana has been just insane lately. The Solana ecosystem is on fire.
Still a shit ton of outages.
Goes down, it's approachable. It's easy. It's cheap. The Phantom Wallet is brilliant. It's super easy to use. And I think, you know, all these ridiculous memes, whether you like them or you don't, they seem to be, quote, here to stay-ish. I think it's a rise of a new counterculture movement that we're seeing in finance. You know, stock trading, it's controlled by the powers that be, right?
Yeah.
Stock trading is difficult. It's not approachable. A lot of these stock platforms are terrible. They're clunky. You think about stock trading, and unfortunately, you think about, you know, old people controlling money, and it's very hard to win in the stock market because it's all...
It's open for 6 hours during the day.
Yeah.
And then the people who have a shit ton of money are able to trade after hours, which is a fucking joke.
Yeah.
So you can't do anything as a regular retail. And then you look at some report that came out and the price skyrockets 20%.
Then you buy.
And then by the time you buy in the morning, it's down fucking. Man, it's so manipulated.
So exactly. So this is what I was thinking. I feel like there's a bigger thing happening here. It's the rise of a counterculture of crypto where young people who are, you know, struggling financially around the world, you know, think about how expensive groceries are. Think about how expensive rent is.
Oh, crazy.
It's crazy, right? They're just saying, you know what? Forget stock investing. Crypto, for better or for worse, crypto is where we want to be. It's easier. It's faster. It's more fun. It's cheaper. It's all being gamified. You know, I can go on Phantom and buy Bodin coin for 50, no gas fees, and I have it. It's fun. There's communities. There's all these things that are, it's this counterculture of finance. And I think once they've figured out this whole gas fees issue, you know, Ethereum was a bit of the barrier with the gas fees, but Solana is one of the first ones that's really made it easy. You know, you download, boom, Solana in through your exchange, and you're in this crazy world of fun finance. And I think that's going to be a trend that's not going to go away. I think it's the future. And then once we start to see gaming come in, and when we start to see the tokenization of real world assets and all these other things that can piggyback off of this counterculture movement, I think it's here to stay. And again, this is another bullish thing for crypto.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last thing I want to point out is financial advisors have not been able to push spot Bitcoin ETFs to their clients. There's a 3-month due diligence that has to occur after the official BlackRock ETF that was approved. Mm-hmm. So soon they're going to start these salesmen are going to come out and start pushing, you know, crypto assets to all these different customers and clients out there as well.
Yeah, so. For sure. A few narratives that I think, you know, we've obviously seen, I think AI is helping crypto because AI and crypto just seem to go together very well. I mean, even Sam Altman, Mr. OpenAI himself, he's got a crypto coin, WorldCoin. You know, as soon as there's news about OpenAI or Sora, that thing goes up. So the fact that AI and crypto are already kind of hand in hand, I think that's helping money come into crypto. You know, we've seen what's happened with BitTensor Tau, those other four AI cryptos emerging, you know, Orichain, all this kind of stuff, right? We've got a lot of interesting pre-sales that we have in AI, like KIP protocol and all these kinds of things. You talk about decentralized narratives like DPIN, which is, again, is giving power back to the people. We see things like Syntropy, OPSEC, Grass, like all these things that people can earn money for doing things, like that Natix one that we invested in on Solana, Drive to Earn. All these things that are just giving power back to the people, I think we're going to see that. Another narrative that has kind of gone quiet in 2024, which I think is going to come back in a huge way, is SocialFi.
Right.
DSO.
People are forgetting about DSO, man.
DSO and Focus.
Yeah.
I think that the timing is going to be perfect when DSO and Focus come out, say, over the next, I don't know, 3 months, whatever. Mm. This is what the market wants right now. There's so much activity. If we can have that crypto native social platform, people have completely forgot about that. DSO's on a big dip right now. I'm scooping up some more.
Yeah, it has been. But we're long-term thinkers. We're planning these things out years in advance because we've been doing this for, you know, trading for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen these things happen. We know, like, what's to come. We put our forward-thinking hats on. We don't get caught up in the inner workings of every single day. The price goes up 5%. The price goes down 10%.
Yeah.
You know, I remember riding Ethereum from $250 up to a couple grand all the way back down to 300, back to $5,000. It's like you go through these swings. Like, it just for happens.
Sure. Yeah, it is concerning, like, watching a lot of new people come into our Discord and, you know, they don't do any research. They buy the coin and then they start tagging us. You know, hey, Jolly Nifty, why coin go down 2% today? When news on CoinEx? Please post about people. Like, you just have to have more of a long-term zoom out. We're in a bull market. If your entry wasn't great, you know, you can just do some more research. If a 5% dip in a coin that you bought makes you sweat about your investment, then you haven't done enough research on your investment, or you know what I mean? Like,
we've gone too heavy in one position.
There's a lot of things that need to be learned. A lot of new investors coming in. There's a lot of things to keep track of. I know it seems like a lot, but we do our best on this show to keep you track, keep you updated on any piece of news, whether it's Bitcoin, Ethereum, crypto, all that kind of stuff. You can hop into our Discord, always happy to answer questions there. And if you have any questions about where we think, different narratives, different altcoins, let us know in the comments.
Anyways, that's our take on where we're at in the market right now. We still see more upside until I'd say like the end of the year before these rate cuts and, you know, the election and all these stuff.
Yeah.
So I personally think we have another 6 months at least of upside about that.
To the election?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking, I think, you know, until November, that's kind of when I'd like to, maybe I'll start taking a little bit of profits a little bit closer to that stage.
Yeah, Q4 is probably a good.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at. I think that's our consensus based off of looking at global liquidity and all the other things we've mentioned this episode. Mm-hmm. But make sure you guys tune to the next episode, all right?
Because that one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.